You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, good morning, church family. How's everybody doing? I tell you, I hope you're doing awesome. That was an incredible time of worship. And then being able to see life change happen is just one of the most absolutely exciting things that we can celebrate. And so I'm in the back there just rejoicing, crying, all the things that are going on. Real quick, let me tell you a little bit about who I am. My name is Justin Holcomb, and as Star said a little earlier, I am the minister to students here. And so I get to have the opportunity, to hang out with students from grade 6 through 12th grade. It is an honor, a joy, and many of you are like, how in the world is that an honor and a joy? But it is. It truly is to be able to hang out with 6th through 12th graders is just an exciting thing. I am originally from Georgia, and so I've been here for the last 5 years. Someone else from Georgia, that sounded great. I love that. I'll take a clap like that. Here's something else you need to know. Anyone in red right now is like near and dear to my heart because I am a Georgia Bulldog fan. So maroon, it's okay. It's a decent color. It's a shade of red, okay? Burnt orange, nowhere near it. Green, okay. Hiss at me all you want. This is who I am. It's my story, all right? But no, I'll tell you, I love being here. I've been here for 5 years. My family, I have a picture for you. I want to introduce you to who they are. So my wife, Lisa, we've been married for 16 years. This is our Christmas card picture, right? I should have thrown up one that showed the real us, which is not all looking at a camera most of the time. But Lisa, then Addison, who's in sixth grade, and he's 11. Riley, who is 9. Brady, who has just turned 8. Gentry, who is 4, eating the popcorn, and then Chipper, our dog, who is eyeing the popcorn, okay? And yes, his name is Chipper for Chipper Jones, okay? Like I said, I'm from Georgia, so Chipper Jones, his name affectionately became Chipper as soon as he entered into our home. But this is my family, but now let me tell you who I am. I am just a guy who loves Jesus, period, okay? I just want you to hear that. Right now, because here's the thing. I am not Pastor Greg. I am nobody else. I am Justin Holcomb, a guy who gave his life to Christ at 8 years old and passionately is trying to follow him in the best way I possibly can. So I know him. He is mine. And I am so thankful for the opportunity to stand here with you today. Can we pray together? Lord, I pray that people would be able to look past me and see Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we open up your word, that you would speak clearly. Lord, I pray that you would do something in the hearts and lives of all of us in this room, no matter background, no matter anything where we're at or where we're from. But God, that you would penetrate deep into our hearts and call us to action today. Lord, I love you, I praise you, and thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hey, so I've been in student ministry now for 17 years, and I'll tell you, in student ministry, I've had a lot of different things. I have a ton of different stories. I've seen a lot of different things happen, but early on in ministry, there was one time, there was a conference that I attended that really just shook me up. You know, have you ever had a time where there was something that was said, something that happened in your life that just kind of, it just shook you to the core and was like, man, and maybe it became something that you became passionate for and began to follow. Well, I heard this talk and it had to do with being awake. With being awake. And I happened to be at a time early in ministry where I was just kind of doing things. I was just kind of walking through and doing different things. But when I heard this at this conference, this message, I knew right then and there that there was something more that I was supposed to be about. And that was the idea that I was supposed to be about seeing other people wake up to being having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That was it. That was all it was for me is, okay, Justin, you have to wake up so that then you can help other people wake up. And so it sent me on this journey. It sent me on this journey of kind of discovering different illustrations, people. I love Bible characters and scripture. And so I began to study and look at this idea of being awake. This idea of being awake, and it took me, and I found in Acts chapter 20, a story, and we're going to read a little bit of this. So if you have your Bibles, I ask you guys to pull them out. We're going to dive right into God's word here, and I tell my students this all the time, and so I'm going to say it to you all here. Man, if you have a physical copy of God's word, any time that you gather together with other people, I want to encourage you to bring it. I want to encourage you to have it with you. We have phones and we can highlight and do, and that's fantastic. And there's no judgment here at all. I'm just saying that I think there's something special about being able to take God's word, highlight, mark it up. It's where then you can always flip back and say, oh man, I remember March 31st, God doing this. And you have it marked. And so we're going to read a little bit here. So do this for me. We're going to do it this way too. Stand up with me. Everybody stand up. I know this is a little bit different. Acts chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 7, okay? Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says this. On the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. Paul spoke to them, and since he was about to depart the next day, he extended his message until midnight. Stop there. We're not going till midnight today, okay? No fear, no problem, but Paul, he was the man, he kept going, all right? Until midnight. Verse 8, there were many lamps in the room. So get this picture. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were assembled. And a young man named Eutychus was sitting on a windowsill and sank into a deep sleep as Paul kept on speaking. When he was overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. Have a seat. Are you kidding me? All right, the reason I had you stand up and while we read God's word there is if we're honest, one of the most comfortable places to fall asleep is in church. It's one of the most comfortable places to fall asleep is sitting in church while someone else talks. And I'll tell you, that became my heart's cry. But to see people begin to wake up and stop sleeping. This passage, interesting part about this, some background to it. Paul, we know who Paul is. Paul has a conversion experience in Acts chapter 9. We see it. Saul before that had been persecuting Christians. That's who he was. He was someone that had persecuted Christians. And now his life was radically changed. And because his life was radically changed, he then becomes a missionary who goes out to do things, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell the story to other people, so that they can then live a life that God would desire. And so Paul, this guy, he had a ton of things going on. But what we see in the story is that he showed up and there's this young man named Eutychus, which that's an interesting name. If you have a son named Eutychus, introduce me afterwards. But Eutychus, right? So Eutychus is sitting here and he falls into this deep, deep sleep. Here's what I know. I know that we in this room can fall asleep to knowing who God is. And so here's the first point for you. The most important thing that you and I can do is wake up to knowing God. It's to wake up to knowing God. Now, when I look out here, and any time we're together, anywhere you go, there are two types of people. Some of us in here, people that you're around that have woke up and they know who God is, or others that think they have. Others that think they have. Here's the thing about knowledge. There are so many ways for you and I to gain knowledge now with social media and give us the idea of knowing someone, give us the idea of knowing a situation, but we don't really know the heartbeat of it. Eutychus knew who Paul was. He knew about him. He knew all the things, and so he had no problem with going and listening and sitting and being a part. But he obviously didn't know Paul. He knew the stories of Paul, but I'm telling you, if you know someone, Like if you intimately know someone and you have a relationship with them, you want to be a part and sit with them. You want to be a part of whatever's going on. And so just by looking at this, Eutychus obviously knew about him, but didn't know Paul. And so here's the thing for today. I truly believe that there are people all across this world, this country, this city, this auditorium that may know about God, but do not know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I'm not talking about knowing about him because some of you have grown up in church your whole life. I know I did. Some of us know all the stories. We know what scripture verses that we should read at this time. We have on our phones the app that pops up a Bible verse every day. And so we know about who God is, but we truly don't know him. Can I just stop right here and go ahead and say and give an invitation right here? If you're in this room and you know about God, but you've never given your life to God, I want to tell you right now, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. It is one of the things that drives me is to see people truly wake up to who he is, because I know that I have sleptwalked through life numerous times. Sleep's a funny thing. You don't know you're asleep until you wake up. Thought about that? You do not, maybe you stayed up late last night watching some basketball, awesome games by the way, watching some basketball, watching a baseball game, watching the news, and then all of a sudden you're sound asleep on the couch or in your recliner, and you didn't even know it until you woke up. Maybe in the middle of the night, maybe your spouse had to come out there or somebody and come out there and say, "What are you doing?" and got you going to bed. But you didn't know you actually fell asleep. You just did. You know, I think a lot of people have great intentions and are really good at the rituals of coming to church and knowing this, maybe because they grew up understanding it, their parents instilled it in them, which is fantastic, but it's just kind of gotten stale. It's just kind of there. You really never truly gave your life to the Lord. It was just living off the coattails of your parents' religion. I don't know Eutychus. I don't know him at all other than what I read, but I'm assuming as a young man, he might have been there. And can you imagine his mom scream as he fell down from the third story window? And he died. Now here's the rest of the story. Paul walks out. Everybody after the scream, they all walk down. Paul goes up to him and says he's okay. He rising from the dead, wakes him up right there. They go upstairs and Paul kept preaching. Paul didn't stop preaching. He kept on. He had an urgency. He knew he was departing the next day, so there was an urgency behind it. And he wanted the people there to wake up. He wanted the people there to do something. And so it was this urgency behind what he had to say. Sleep well. Anybody snoring here? Sleep. Anybody in here snore? Will you admit snoring? Thank you. Thank you so much for admitting your snoring problem. We'll check it out later. No, the thing is you normally don't even know you snore unless somebody tells you. True? Yeah, or unless you gagged yourself one night trying to wake up. Caught yourself. You don't know that you snore until you're in a room with other people and they tell you this, or someone else tells you, or maybe they videoed it to show you, because we're in this denial of our snoring problems. But somebody has videoed you and said, "See, you really do snore. Now you know about it. And now maybe you can do something about it," or not. What about sleepwalking? Anybody in here sleepwalk? This is a tough one to admit because it makes you a little weird. Thanks for your admittance there, I understand. It's true though, right? Sleepwalking. Man, I have never been sleepwalking, I don't think. My wife hasn't told me I sleepwalk. My family never did. But I have been on so many student trips that I have been in rooms with groups of guys on air mattresses and things. And my goodness, I've had a lot of snoring and honestly some sleepwalking. One particular time, we're in Panama City Beach, Florida. Okay, this is 12 years ago, so not with this group here, but we are in Panama City Beach, Florida. And we're staying at this place called Shalimar Retreat Center. Okay, Shalimar Retreat Center has been around for a very long, long, long time. The carpet is awful, okay? But it has bunk beds, and so it's easy to have a bunch of people there and do. And so this particular one, they have kind of quads set up. So it's one bit, different buildings, they have quads, you have bunk beds in them. And I'm sleeping in one of the rooms downstairs and upstairs in one of the other ones. I have my brand new intern, summer intern, Chad. Chad had just joined me. We have summer camp back then at the beginning of the summer, so in June. And so Chad is in a room with some eighth or ninth grade guys. And that first night happens. The next morning, Chad is outside my door immediately. And he knocks, and I come out, and he says, "Hey, Justin, we have a problem." And I said, "Okay, it's never a good thing on a student trip. Okay, what's our problem?" And he said, "Well, about 2 a.m., there was, one of the guys was outside knocking on the door because they had walked out in the middle of the night. I guess he snuck out." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, who was it?" And he said it was Michael. Now here's the thing. There are some students you can probably expect to sneak out and some students that you don't. Michael fit the category of not sneaking out. So I immediately am like, "Michael? No way, not Michael." Okay, so we walk, they say, "Go get Michael." He comes downstairs, and as we're sitting there, he begins to tell me the story and what's going on. I said, "Michael, why did you walk out?" He's like, "I don't know. I have no idea why I walked outside." I was like, "Where did you go?" He's like, "I have no idea." So now I'm like, "Okay, do you sleepwalk at home?" He's like, "I don't think so." He said, "But Justin, look at this." And he lifts up his shirt and he has a strawberry. If you know baseball, sliding to second base, kind of strawberry on your hip. He has it up his entire side. He's like, "I don't know how I got it." No idea at all. And he's bleeding. I mean, no clue. And so I immediately am like, man, that's not good. It's going to sting when you get in the ocean today, you know, type of thing. But what else can we do? He didn't mean to sneak out. It wasn't intentional. He really went sleepwalking. But I looked at Chad and I said, "Chad, we have to prevent this. We're at the beach. That's not a safe environment for anybody to sleepwalk." So they came up with this plan, and that was to barricade the doors on the second night. So they took the empty extra mattresses that were on the different bunk beds and stuck them up against the doors, and it was great. And that next morning, though, I woke up and I said, "So how'd it go?" They're like, "Well, we woke up and caught Michael trying to sneak behind the mattresses, trying to get out again." And I'm like, "Well, this is not good." I said, "You got to come up with another plan." So third night now, the guys, a bunch of eighth and ninth grade guys and a brand new intern, young guy, they decide we're going to tie him to the bed. Natural progression, right? I mean, why wouldn't you do this? So they do. So they tie him to the bed. But here's the thing. Here's the thing you have to understand. They decided to tie his foot to the bed. Not a hand, nothing else but a foot. And here's the other part about this retreat center. The bunks are 3 high. Which bunk do you think Michael's sleeping on? It's not the bottom or the second, it's the third bunk. So Michael is now tied to the bed, his foot. I didn't know this at all happened until the next morning again. I'm like, "Well, how'd it go last night?" I was like, "Well, Michael didn't fall off the bed." And I was like, "That's great." And I said, "So which, everything good?" "Yeah, yeah." He's like, "He sleeps on the third bunk." And I was like, "Hey guys, if you're gonna tie him to the bed, at least put him on the first bunk, please. Move it down." But here's the thing about sleepwalking. We don't know we're doing it until we wake up. Here's the second type of person that's in here. Many of us that have a knowledge of who God is, we know him, we've made him Lord of our lives, but Satan has lulled us into a sleep, and we're honestly walking through life sleepwalking. We're not living with any purpose. Can I tell you, man, that is... You and I are so ineffective when we're asleep, right? Nothing productive happens when you sleep. Nothing goes on. And can I tell you that if you've given your life to Christ in here today, the most important thing that Satan can do is lull you into a sleep and make you ineffective. Period. And that's what he would love to do. Flip over to Ephesians 5 with me if you don't mind. Ephesians 5. Students, just so that you know, this is called an alarm clock, okay? Typically, we use our cell phones now to wake us up, but this is an actual alarm clock that has a snooze button on it and these things. But man, this passage of scripture, Ephesians 5:14, if I could have one passage of scripture that would blink up here constantly, it'd be Ephesians 5:14, because this is what it says, right? And this is Paul, again, to the church in Ephesus, and many of the members there were just sleepwalking through life. And he says this, for what makes everything clear is light. Can I tell you this? It's hard to go to sleep when there's a room full of light. Therefore, it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead. And the Messiah, Jesus, will shine on you. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Hey, church family, alarm clock. Bam, bam, bam. Wake up. Wake up, oh sleeper. Different translations would say wake up. Others would say arise or awake. Wake up. Wake up to knowing who he is. The first question we have to ask is, have we given our life to Jesus? Jesus, 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 God. From the beginning of time, he created all things. He created man. Sin enters the world. Because of sin, there's separation from God. The redemption plan, though, is Jesus. So God sends Jesus to this earth so that he can pay the penalty for our sin and allow us to not just know about, like Eutychus knew about Paul, but to truly know him in an intimate and personal way, to give our lives to him, to say, Jesus, I need you. And once we do that, then we become awake, then we wake up, and God then can use us. That's what can happen. So if you're that first person here that has never given your life to Christ, guys, today is the day of salvation. There's nothing more that needs to be said but that. Give your life to the Lord. Wake up in that. The second type, if you're in here and you recognize, maybe I'm sleepwalking through. I know about God. I even know certain things that are deeper. I've had moments where I'm really close to the Lord, but maybe right now I'm in a place where I'm not being effective. Maybe it's because there's a lullaby that's been saying over your life. Look at your priorities. Look at what matters the most to us, and that will tell you. That can help you see, am I asleep? Who have I led to the Lord lately? Lord, what is God doing in your life? We have to wake up to knowing him. I don't want to sleepwalk. I don't want to see anyone else sleepwalk. The second part that you can find is right here again in Acts chapter 7, right there at the beginning of this, and we have to wake up to growing. So first part is waking up to knowing. The second part is waking up to growing. Hey, it matters. Our growth matters. If you've given your life to the Lord, but you look the exact same, and that was when you were 8, then there hasn't been any growth. That's a big deal. Right now I'm coaching my son's baseball team and it's super fun. I love it. Coach pitch and we've had some awesome times. But last year I coached this team as well. And just the development of some of these young men has been so much fun to watch from last year. Brady, I'm trying not to put it on him till he has to play baseball. I love baseball. I played baseball. It's a fun sport. But it's been so neat to watch his progression. Last year, just how do you hold a bat? How do you put on the glove? What position am I supposed to be in to field a ground ball? How do you catch a pop-up? All of these things. Last year to this year, there's been so much growth, but here's how. There's been practice. There have been a lot of things that have helped him to grow. There have been a lot of people that have helped put him in the right positions. Hey, Brady, your hands go here. Your glove goes on this way. Your bat, it starts here. All of these different things. And this progression, that's what happens when we grow. Now, I think there are three ways that we can grow. The first one is in your own personal time with the Lord. Hey, if you're relying on a Sunday morning to help you only grow, I'll tell you, you're missing a big part of it. You opening up God's word and God speaking clearly and to you and you alone matters. Your personal time, and again, if we're relying on an Instagram app to give us the verse for the day, and that is it, now I love those things, and it's great, it's a great tool, but it doesn't allow for any more depth, any more growth to actually happen. And I just want to challenge you. Man, your own personal time with the Lord, when is it? Can I tell you, to be real with you right now, I am an awful husband when I don't spend time with the Lord. I am selfish. That is innate in me. And when I don't give my day to the Lord, when I don't spend time with him, I sit in selfishness. I'm an awful dad when I don't spend time with the Lord. You know, I work at the church. So you would think ministry is great. Can I tell you? Man, I can be very ineffective and sit behind a desk at the church unless I spend time with the Lord. My own growth, personal. The second part is corporate. It is in this room. It does matter that you come together. It is so important that you gather in these places. We have a pastor that loves us, that loves you, that loves me. And every time he's here, he gets to shepherd his family. He has the opportunity to bless and point out the things that God has shown him. And that is so important. So gathering together like this matters. It does allow you to grow. But the third part to this is, I would say, is being a part of a group of other believers that can then, like a closer group, that can look at you and say, hey man, you know right now, you're not living maybe the way that God would have you live. You're not treating your wife right. Are you okay? Have you had time with the Lord lately? Some accountability. And a beautiful thing that we have here is our church does have groups with LBS and times where you can jump in and be a part. And I would tell you that is a big deal. Just so that you can gather together. If you look right here in verse 7 of this, right? In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. They gathered together. They came together for their own growth. If you look in Acts at the beginning, after Jesus ascends, the church, the people begin to gather. Why? To encourage. Why? To serve. To push. To motivate. Our growth matters, so we have to wake up to growing. And the third part of this is waking up to throwing. Throwing. In Mark chapter 4, you see the parable of the sower. You can also find it in Matthew and Luke, but the parable of the sower. And Jesus is talking to a multitude of people. People are gathered, and he's talking to them. He's talking about this sower who goes out and he throws seed. If you've fertilized your yard this spring, you know what I mean? Except we have the little Scott's push thing, right? That drops it in the ground for us or scatters it around. But in this case, it would be somebody that would go out and they would take seed in their hand and they would throw it out. They would throw it out. Now, some of that seed landed in different places, but the bottom line is they threw. The sower was throwing seed. Can I tell you something? When you look at this passage, Paul, the character of Paul in here, Paul was a missionary. Paul's whole purpose was to go and throw seed. Can I look you in the eyes right now and tell you that if you've given your life to the Lord, you are a missionary. That is who you are. That is your identity. That should be innate in who we are. But what happens is Satan lulls us into this sleep and we don't throw seed. We worry about where it's going to fall. We worry if the person's going to like what I have to say. We're so concerned with the outcome that we don't even just throw it. And my challenge to all of us in here is that if you know Jesus, you would throw seed. That's it, just reach in and throw seed. Now what I'm talking about is gospel. What I'm talking about is Jesus, the name above all names. Here's something I think we've put into practice too much. Something we've done is that people will know we're a Christian by our actions. True statement. Absolutely. True statement. But can I tell you, it's very important for you to open your mouth too. You have to open your mouth because there are a lot of good people that are very generous, that do a lot of things, but they've never made Jesus king. And if you have, we're not supposed to look like that. We're supposed to be throwing. It's a phrase that we've been using in our student ministry over the last couple of years, and it just kind of, I don't know, hit me as I was thinking about our students. And we have 100 plus schools in our student ministry. So that's awesome. That's great. But man, here's the thing. I can't go to every school. I can't. I can't be the missionary on every campus. But instead, my job is to train, equip students to then go into their schools and be a missionary. And it's a way of changing the way you think. And I look out here and man, for all of you out here, we have different places that we're at. There are different places that God has strategically placed you. God has strategically placed my family in Houston, Texas for such a time as this. For the last 5 years, my job's to be throwing seed in Houston, Texas. Like I said, my family's still in Georgia. Maybe you're from somewhere else. Maybe you're from somewhere where it's colder than Houston, Texas, and so you're miserable. Yeah, August hits and you're like, oh my goodness, let's move. Some of you have been born and raised here, and so you're just used to sweat marks. God has each of us right where he wants us. And there's this phrase that we've been using over the last couple of years for our student ministry, and it's prisoner platform. Prisoner platform. Am I going to use my school? Am I going to use my place of influence as a platform, or am I going to feel confined to a prison? Oh, I can't stand my boss. They just don't understand. Oh my God, my coworkers, My neighborhood, can we just get out of here? We got to change the grocery store we go to. That's what can happen so often when we're offended, when things happen in our lives. But can I tell you, if you ever just stop and think, man, maybe God has placed you there for right now. And if we would shift and change the way that we think, it would become a platform rather than a prison. Whenever we say those things, oh, I just want out of this. Oh, I don't like this person. Man, can I tell you something? You sound more like a convict than a convert. Because a convert says, woo, I was dead and I'm alive. I was bound and I'm free. And I'm going to use wherever God places me to throw seed with my life and with my words. Closing, we were in New York City over spring break recently. And we took sophomores, juniors, seniors, and the whole goal of that trip is to talk to people, to try and put students in opportunities and places to open up God's word with their mouth to just speak in the name of Jesus. And the great thing about New York City is you're around people everywhere you go. And so we were working with church planners and those things, but one of our teams stayed, and we stayed in Manhattan, and we did this thing called a prayer clock. And this prayer clock basically was, we put up a 12 o'clock place where one student would stand and somebody at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. And we did this, and then at every 5-minute mark, they would rotate. So by the time 1 hour had passed, they had been standing for 1 hour, and they had actually prayed over all of Times Square, but not just over the area, but whoever walked by. The goal and the training, the equipping part of this was not for them to exactly engage with people, but to learn that they can pray over people. Now, if conversations happen, praise the Lord. But it was to pray over people. You know, you can walk by a coworker and just go, Lord, I have no idea what's going on in their heart and life. But I pray right now. And so it was awesome when we did that. But while we were standing right there in Times Square, kind of on the side where the risers are, if you've ever been there, and I was standing there, and there are some artists that had put out some different things around. And as I was standing there, there was this artist that put this sign. It's a road sign, and this is what it looked like. This is what it said. It says, don't wake or wake. And it was a playoff of don't walk and walk, right? And it was at that moment that I knew I was supposed to share this word with this church today. I have no idea where you are. I have no idea if you've given your life to the Lord or not. I have no idea if you have given your life to the Lord, but you're just walking through it. But can I tell you that you have an enemy that would love to lull you into sleep, but you have a Savior that would love to see you wake up. And so if you're here today and you have never given your life to Christ, man, I pray today would be that day, that you would wake up right now, that an alarm clock will be set, just going off in your mind right now, saying, it's time to go. If you know about God, but you don't know him, that you would wake up to that. That you would wake up and begin to grow. If you're not plugged into something, man, jump in. And then if you are, you would throw seed. Wake up and start throwing. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to stand and sing here in just a second. And we're going to have some different people that love you, that are down front and in the cross aisles, that would love nothing more than to pray with you. That would love nothing more than to encourage you. Also, our prayer rails will be open. If you just want to come and pray, man, we would love to have that happen. Here's the thing. If you've never given your life to the Lord, come and talk to one of these so we can talk to you about that. If you do know who the Lord is and you've given him your heart, man, but you know you've been sleepwalking like Michael, I encourage you to come hit your knees. Let today be a day where you wake up and live with purpose. I don't want to be ineffective. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing. And during that time, if you feel like you need to move, I encourage you to move. It doesn't matter age. It doesn't matter at all. What matters is where you're at with your walk with the Lord. So Lord, I love you. I praise you for being big, for being powerful, for being mighty, for being king, for being Lord, for being over all things. Lord, I pray today that anything that's been said would not have come from Justin's lips, Lord, but straight from your heart. Lord, I have no idea where people are, but I do know, Lord, that there are people that do not know you, period. And so I pray that if anyone in here has never given their life to you, or Lord, maybe they have been in the church, specifically maybe even this church their whole life, but they don't know you, that they've never given you their life, that today would be the day that happens. And Lord, for anyone in here that does know you, that has given you their hearts and lives, Lord, I pray that we walk out of here alive, awake, ready to go do something. That we would grow in our knowledge of you by spending time with you and growing. And Lord, that we walk out of here throwing seed at the restaurants today that we go eat at. The grocery stores that we walk into. We'd stop the excuses. Lord, that we would stop those things, but say we would just throw seed everywhere we go. We'd be faithful in doing that. Lord, I pray we see our workplaces, our schools, the neighborhoods that we live in as a platform rather than a prison. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.